Well, I want you to take your copy of God's Word and let's look at 1 Kings 19 tonight. We started this message last Sunday night on how to manage burnout. I got you all burned out, and now I got to help you get out of that and show you what the Word of God says about how to handle burnout in our lives. So I want us to look at 1 Kings 19. And let's begin reading at verse 3 tonight. So stand together with me, please, as we read from God's Word. The Bible says that Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree. He sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God, and there he went into a cave and spent the night. Father, bless the reading of your word and the preaching of it tonight. And I pray that your Holy Spirit might teach us things that would encourage us and that would give us tools that we can use to get out of those times, those dark holes that we often find ourselves in. And we give you thanks for what you're going to show us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just review a minute what we talked about last week on how to manage burnout. First thing we said was that we have a tendency to depreciate our worth to society, that we think that we really don't have anything to offer to society. And when we get to that point, we start comparing ourselves to other people, then we're headed toward burnout. Second thing we said is that we have a tendency to underrate our work, what we're doing. We sometimes believe that our work is not as important as somebody else's, and so that means I'm not as important as everybody else is, and so that also kind of leads to burnout. We have a tendency to exaggerate our problems. Do you remember Elijah said that everybody was out to get him? Everybody wanted to kill him, when it was really only one woman that wanted to kill him. And so he was exaggerating his problems. He told God, "I'm the only one," and on it went. And God said, "No, you're not the only one. I've got 7,000 that hadn't done anything either. They're just as faithful to me as you are." And then we have a tendency to give up on our dreams. When you reach a state of burnout to where you don't feel like you have much to offer and you're not worth much to society and everybody else seems to be successful, then you're going to have a problem with burnout. So we have a tendency to depreciate, underrate, exaggerate, and give up on our dreams. And so that leads us to tonight. What do you do? What do you do? Well, at times you may feel so worn out and so stressed that you're not sure whether or not you could take another step. How many of you ever wanted to just stay in bed all day? Okay, praise God for honest people. Amen. Now, you may seem to spend all of your time running from crisis to crisis, to be constantly giving your time and your energy to other people and other things. Now, God wants to renew your strength and enable you to enjoy the abundant life that He has given to you. The Bible very plainly teaches us that good things come to those who are willing to what? To wait. To wait on the Lord. Now, our generation does not like to wait. We don't like to wait. Matter of fact, we overcommit ourselves, and the reason is because we have not learned a very important word, and that word is no. I want you to learn that word tonight. Say it with me. No. You need to learn that word. No. We rush through our lives without stopping to evaluate our activities. Part of God's restorative process is to slow us down and make us listen to Him. And when we slow down and when we seek His will, then He reveals His plans to us, what He wants to do with our lives. So biblically, and I want you to get this, biblically, waiting on the Lord is not passive. It's not passive. It's always active. Because waiting requires us to cease our own pursuits and give God our complete attention. Now, we may have to give up some of the activities we have allowed to control our lives. How many of you know that you're too busy? Some of you are too busy. And that's why you're worn out. That's why you're tired. That's why you have no energy. That's why you have no enthusiasm for life. You're doing too much. Now, Jesus carried, I think you'd agree with me, Jesus carried much more responsibility than you and I will ever carry. You agree with that? Now, more people needed Him than will ever need us. And yet He was never overwhelmed. He was never inadequate for the task, no matter what the task was. And in this passage tonight, we learned several steps that we need to take to be able to defeat burnout in our lives and to be profitable for kingdom work. Here's the first thing you need to do. Rest your body. Rest your body. You know, I've heard some people say, I don't have time to rest. I'm too busy to rest. They take pride in the fact that they can go with little or no sleep at night. Well, I can get by on 4 hours of sleep. Not for long. Not for long you won't. Because somewhere along the line, it'll catch up. Now, I thought this was very interesting because, you know, Elijah is on the run. He's just come off the mountain. They've just won a great victory. God has shown Himself to be God. And now all of a sudden, this one woman, Jezebel, has Elijah literally scared to death. And so instead of rejoicing in the victory and trusting God, he is on the run for his life. And he says to God, I just wish I were dead. I've had enough of this. And so he goes out into the desert and he goes under a broom tree and he sits down and he prayed that he might die. And then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. God allowed his servant to rest in the midst of this emotional struggle that he found himself in. Lord, take my life. Lord, I'm no better than my ancestors. Lord, I've had enough. Now, when he lay down and went to sleep, an angel woke him up and said, it's time to eat. And he had prepared the meal, a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And then he let him go back to sleep again. And then the angel woke him up again and fed him again. Now, I like this plan. I mean, don't you like this plan? This is God's first step in getting over burnout. Sleep and eat. How much better does it get than that? He's saying you've got to take care of the physical issues that are here, Elijah. You're stressed out, man. You need to take it easy. You need to rest. And I love this about God. When Elijah burned out, God didn't give him a lecture. God didn't scold him. God didn't say, get a life, Elijah. Remember what happened 2 days ago, Elijah? Remember the greatest victory of your whole life? God didn't say, buck up. God didn't say, get it together. God didn't say, whip yourself into shape. God didn't say, pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and get rid of that attitude. He didn't say any of that stuff. He didn't preach at him. He didn't yell at him. He let him rest. And he let him eat in order to give him the strength that he would need for his next challenge. Now, God understands your body better than you do. And Psalm 127, verse 2 in the Living Bible says, God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. Now, let me tell you something that you're going to go, what? Sometimes in life, the most spiritual thing you can do is sleep. Now, I realize there are a lot of spiritual people in church who do just that. I mean, you don't have to tell them that. Just do it naturally. It is. But look what Vince Lombardi said. Fatigue makes cowards of all of us. Fatigue makes cowards of all of us. And that's true. I mean, we're very vulnerable when we're tired. We're very vulnerable. When you're tired, you just can't handle a whole lot. When you're worn out, you can't handle stresses and pressures that normally wouldn't bother you. And listen, sometimes all you need is one good night's rest. Changes your whole perspective on life. Never, listen to me, never, 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 never. You got that part of it? Never make a major decision when you're depressed. Because it will always be wrong. You will always regret it. Never make a major decision when you're tired. It will almost always be wrong. Wait until you get a good night's sleep. Wait until you've gotten yourself recharged a little bit. You ever notice how when things are not going well, you've had a bad day, you've had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, whatever it is, that oftentimes what you want to do more than anything else is just go crawl up in the bed and just rest. Just forget about it for a while. Well, I think that's good advice. Now, I'm not telling you every day you get up and you look at your husband and your wife and say, you know, I think I'll be spiritual today. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you, when you know you're about to bottom out, you need to rest your body. And sometimes when it's really pressing in on you, the best thing you can do is get in the Word and rest your body. And listen, don't be afraid to go and see your family physician. That's just a little practical stuff, because your doctor can help you too. So rest your body. That's one of the first things that God allowed Elijah to do. Here's the second thing. Release your frustration. The letters got released there somehow. But you get the point. You get the point. Release your frustrations. See, that frustrates me right there, and I'm just going to release it. Because I hate it when that happens. And I did it. But this deals with the emotional side of burnout. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. You're not going to get well. You're not going to get to feeling good again until you learn to express those feelings in your heart that you have been holding in. I want you to think about this a minute. Any area of your life that you can't talk about is out of control. Any area of your life you can't talk about is out of control. If you can't talk about it, you can't manage it. It'll manage you. It'll hurt you. Face your frustrations and talk to God about whatever it is you're frustrated about. Don't complain to other people. Don't take out your frustrations on somebody else. Talk to God. Just say, God, this is the way I feel. Express your feelings. Lay them all out. That's what Elijah did. Verse 9. He went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars. They put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Well, God knew that Elijah, in the mental and emotional state that he was in, was a basket full of emotions. And so he says, Elijah, tell me what you're really thinking. Tell me what you're really feeling. What's bugging you? I want you to just get it off your chest. I want you to just tell me whatever it is that's got you so wrapped up. And in the next verses, he does just that. He goes and tells God exactly what's on his mind, exactly what's on his heart. He said, I've got this problem with these people. I have lived my life for you, but the Israelites have rejected my preaching. They've torn down the altars. They put other prophets to death. I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me. On and on and on it goes. So he basically says, there's six things that are bugging me, God. First place, I'm afraid, I'm bitter, I'm angry. On top of that, I'm lonely. On top of that, I'm worried. And on top of that, I'm depressed. You put those six things together, no wonder he was burning out. You get those six emotions churning up inside and not sharing them with anybody, obviously you're going to burn out. Whenever you swallow your emotions, you know what? Your stomach is the one that keeps score. If you don't talk it out, you're going to take it out on yourself in some way. Or you'll take it out on somebody else. Now, do you think that God was shocked with Elijah's griping? No, he wasn't shocked with the way he felt. When he said, God, I'm angry and I'm bitter and I'm depressed and I'm lonely, God wasn't surprised by that. God didn't say, you shouldn't feel that way. No, he just listened. You know why he listened? God's a good listener. Have you ever noticed that? But God can afford to listen and just let us vent all we want to because he knows our feelings better than we do. The reason he knows our feelings better than we do is because he's the one that created us. He's the one that wired us a certain way. Now, if you're one of these people that just about everything, and you get around somebody who goes, does that bug you? Does that person bug you? I mean, don't you want to look at them and say, what's wrong with you? The sky's falling. You're over there whistling. God didn't put everybody together the same. Everybody's different. Some much more different than others. But everybody's different. Nobody's the same emotionally. We don't all reason the same. We don't all see things the same. We don't all get shook up about the same things. But God knows all that about us. He knows every bit of that. And so He says, if you want to get well, first you rest your body, and then you release your frustrations, you release your emotions. So let me ask you, are you feeling down tonight? Are you feeling a little stressed out? Are you feeling a little uptight? Are you feeling a little overloaded tonight? Then do what the Bible says to do. And it says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Didn't say cast some of your cares on Him because He cares somewhat about you. No. Cast all your cares on Him, on God, because He cares for you. He says, tell God how you feel. Pour out your heart to Jesus. Dump the load on Him, because God never meant for you to carry the load by yourself. All right. Rest your body. Release your frustration. Third thing, and I'm not going to look because I don't want to be frustrated if I did it again. Refocus on God. Did I do all right? Yeah, all right. Refocus on God. In other words, get your eyes off your problem and start looking at Jesus. Get a fresh awareness of God's power and God's presence in your life. Now, this is the third key to Elijah overcoming his burnout. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. Then the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. The Lord is about to pass by. In the next verses, God puts on this massive, spectacular, incredible multimedia event for Elijah. And it's almost like He said, okay, Elijah, you scared of this woman over here? I made fire come down out of heaven, consume this, but you're afraid of this woman over here? Well, let me show you something. Let me just show you something here. Just stand right here and just watch. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But listen to this. The Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I mean, put yourself in his shoes for a minute. There's hurricane force winds that he hears and sees the results of. Then there's an earthquake that comes and does what earthquakes do. Then there's a firestorm that falls from heaven. And the Bible says, but God was not in any of those things. He wasn't in the hurricane. He wasn't in the firestorm. He wasn't in the earthquake. But then Elijah hears a voice, a whisper, a gentle whisper. And he knew that it was God. Now, you and I would have thought, okay, mighty wind must be God. Earthquake must be God. Firestorm must be God. But it was not. It was the gentle whisper. He speaks in a still, small voice. And you say, what was God doing? He was reminding Elijah of his power. I'm in control. I'm sovereign. Now you may think things are bad, Elijah, but my power is far greater than any problem that you will ever face. I am in control. And I don't care what you're going through tonight, no matter how big your problem may be, God is in control. Now, you can spend all your time fixated on your problem. You can spend all of your energy focused on that problem. It can drive you to your knees. It can mess with your mind all day long. You can spend 100% of your time doing that, and guess what? It never goes away. But you know the smart thing to do? Instead of looking at the problem that has you down, look at the one who can bring you up. I think sometimes what we would like for God to do is send a mighty wind or shake the place where we are or send fire down from heaven. That's what we would like. We would like the spectacular. God said, I can speak in a whisper and be just as powerful. Elijah, listen, I want you to trust me. I want you to let me be God and quit trying to be God yourself. I think in a roundabout way that the root of all burnout is playing God. When you start playing God, when you start acting as if God doesn't matter, like you have to make it all work, like you're in charge, like you're in control, like you're the manager of your life, you are setting yourself up for burnout, because whether you recognize it or not, you are not God. Look at the person beside you and say, you're not God. And then that person that you just said that to, look at them and say, well, you're certainly not God. God never meant for you to be the manager of your life. He wants to manage your life. He made you. God made you. You were made by Him and for Him. And until you understand that, life isn't going to make any sense. He's saying, let me be God, Elijah. Don't get so wrapped up in this woman who's made this threat. I can take care of that. If I need to, I can send a heavy wind. If I need to, I can send an earthquake. If I need to, I can send some more fire down from heaven. Don't worry about her. Trust me. And he said, because you're not trusting me, that's why you're so tired. That's why you're so frazzled. That's why you're so anxious about everything. He said, let me be God. You and I were not wired to be God. You're human. We're human. We're not superhuman, and we're certainly not God. So what we have to do when all this junk starts happening is make sure we refocus our attention on God. We understand who He is, and we understand who we are, and we don't get the two confused. Okay? So rest your body, release your frustration, refocus on God. And here's the fourth one, resume serving others and with others. In other words, stop thinking about yourself. Stop being introspective all the time. Start thinking about others who are less fortunate than you are. You ever get to feeling sorry for yourself? Anybody? Now, when you get to feeling sorry for yourself, if you're not careful, you will begin to blame others for not feeling sorry for you as well. And then you'll get critical because nobody cares about me. But you know, the greatest antidote to burnout is to get up and get busy and serve somebody else. Do something for somebody else. Serve other people. One of the ways of getting out of burnout is to start giving your life away again in helping somebody else. The more you give your life away, the more God blesses you. Now, verses 15 and 16. The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet." Now, he's in a cave. God has a plan. He couldn't carry out the plan from the cave. God said, "Elijah, what in the world are you doing here? I've got work for you to do. It's time to get up. It's time to re-energize. It's time to do something." Because God gives Elijah a new assignment to help him get out of the funk that he's in. He wanted Elijah to realize that God was not through with him. Elijah thought it was over. He says, "It's over. I'm ready to die. Please take my life, God." And God said, "Nope. I've got a lot more for you to do. I'm not through with you." Whenever you get to feeling so bad and you begin to feel so sorry for yourself and you feel like you're the only one that's going through this and nobody else understands what you're going through, and you go and lock yourself in your room, I want to say to you, God's asking you, what in the world are you doing here? What are you doing here? I got work for you to do. I've got an assignment for you to carry out. I've got something that you need to do. The quickest way to defeat depression is to get your eyes off yourself and start focusing on helping others. Do something for somebody else. Jesus said, "I'm giving your life away." In giving your life away, you find it. Elijah needed to get his eyes off of himself. I don't know about you, but I find that every time I do something for somebody else in an attempt to bless them, it blesses me. And I may be down and out, and I may push myself and force myself to go do it, and you may have to do the same thing, but when you get through with the assignment that God gives you, I promise you, you will feel better. Now, tonight, you may be burned out, and you may be depressed. You've got to get outside of yourself. You have to find a ministry. You have to find a place to serve. You have to find a place to use your talents and the abilities that God has given you. You've got to stop focusing on yourself and start focusing on helping others, and that will bring the joy back. Joy comes from service. Satisfaction comes from service. Significance comes from service. Self-esteem comes from service. Remember what Jesus said? I didn't come to be served. I came to be a servant. Now, if Jesus came to serve, what in the world do you think those who are His followers ought to be doing? They ought to be serving. A lot of people in church burn out. And the reason they burn out is because if they don't see success in their ministry, they deem themselves a failure. God never told you to be successful. He told you to be available. God's the only one who can bring success. You can't bring success. I can't bring success. Some people burn out in the church because they're in the wrong place of service. If you hate kids, don't work with the youth. Huh? Doesn't that make sense? That's a simple one. You can't stand people, don't be a greeter. I'm just being honest with you. We're just talking. But when you find your niche, when you operate in your giftedness, it will bring you out of the hole that you find yourself in. Because sometimes when that bad time comes in our lives, you know what we do? We pack up our spiritual toolbox and we just put it over the side and we say, I don't think I'll ever use anything in there again. I tried and it didn't work. I tried and I'm a failure. But let me tell you something. Failure is not a person. Failure is an event. You're not a failure. There's not a failure in this place. No matter how many times you've fallen flat on your face, you are not a failure. What you attempted to do may have failed, but you are not a failure. And when you fall down, you got to get up. And you got to go. So, sometimes what we need to do is rest. Sometimes what we need to do is just release our just get out and talk to God and tell Him what's on your mind. He can take it. And then refocus, get back on track with God, and resume serving others with others. Jehu put to death any who escaped the sword of Hazael. Elisha will put to death any who escaped the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. You're not the only one. You ever thought, man, if everybody was in this church was just like me, we'd get it done. Or, if everybody in this church would just listen to me. Just do what I say do, because I know. Yeah, you know. But do you know what God knows? See, that's what makes a difference. God wants you to serve Him. God wants you to serve others. God wants you to serve alongside others. That's the easiest way to keep you on track, to keep you from falling into deep depression or falling into a time of burnout. And I want to tell you something. What I've shared with you, it works. And the reason I know it works is because it's in this book, and this book works. And so if you're having difficulty, if you have a tendency to depreciate your worth to society, if you have a tendency to underrate your work, if you have a tendency to exaggerate your problems, if you have a tendency to give up on your dreams, then rest your body, release your frustration, refocus on God, and resume serving others with others. And I think that you'll find that you'll be blessed beyond your wildest imagination if you'll just do what He says to do. Pray with me. Father, we know that there's not a one of us in here that's immune to burnout and depression. All of us have our own stories that we could tell. All of us have come to the point in our lives like Elijah did and said, God, I'm done, I'm through, I'm tired. I want to die. Just take me home right now. Probably all of us have been there at one time or another, but yet you leave us here. And I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, God left me here. He must have a purpose for me. He wasn't ready for me right then. And that's so true. That is so true. But so often we get so wrapped up in the stuff. We get tangled up in the stuff. And we don't enjoy the freedom and the victory that comes from knowing You. So God, help us to apply the principles that are here in the Word of God about how to deal with spiritual burnout in our lives. There may be somebody here tonight who is right there. They know exactly what we've talked about. They sense it. They feel it. That's where they are. And I pray, God, that You might give them the victory tonight, that they might claim this teaching for their lives, and that they might leave here refocused and ready to serve. So God, You have Your way right now in our lives. If there's somebody who needs to be saved tonight, I pray that they might come and give their heart and their life to You. If there's somebody here who needs a church, I pray they might come and become part of this church family. But Lord, You know the decisions need to be made. So we're just trusting You with all that right now. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. As we sing, You Come, meet me here on the front.
This is home. Thank you.
me thank you for coming and being with us tonight. I hope that the last two Sunday nights have been a blessing to you, something you can take and very practical application to your life. Let me remind you that next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, we'll meet over in the Family Life Center for our Thanksgiving at Hillwood service, and you'll notice on the inside of your worship folder, actually on the back of this one, the covered dishes that are we'd like for you to bring if you're in a Sunday school class. If you're not in a Sunday school class, you just pick whichever one of these you'd like to bring and come and join us for that, because we're going to have a great time over there worshiping and sharing our thanksgiving unto the Lord for what He has done. Also, I need to remind you that Sharing the Light is going to be here before you know it, our Christmas ministry. We're in need of toys, dolls, cars, trucks, remote control cars and trucks, things of that nature. So we need to get those in as soon as possible because, like I said, it's only a few weeks away, actually. So keep that in mind as well. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Carl Foster, pray for us, please, sir.